Now we just pray together.
Father, we're very grateful for the way the Word continues faithfully to minister to our life. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that knows us and touches our lives where we need it, who comforts, who strengthens, who guides, builds. And thank you, Father, that we can be here and experience the joy of your presence, the ministry of your Spirit, and the power of the Word of God. So we just want to thank you this morning just for being yours and being children of the living God. We thank you in the name of Christ. Amen.
Well, it is a delight to be here. It's always a challenge. Every time I'm around, I never know how to address them, Dr. Sanders, Mr. Sanders, or sir, or whatever, because he's almost timeless. I've been reading his books for years, and then finally meet him, and then he's ministered to us through our various international teams we've had. He's been a guidance. And then just the other week, I was calling a very close friend of mine who's a pastor down in College Station, Texas, and Dr. Sanders was down there speaking, and I thought, oh, did you have a men's or a rally or something? You know, I was thinking maybe ministering to the older generation of that group. And he says, oh, no, he was down here ministering to the college students and all the teenagers, you know. So his message is timeless when someone's faithful to the Word of God. Isn't it beautiful to have that? But anyhow, I just wanted to thank you for allowing me to be part of your program. I'm not a part of, officially, of the CDM until the 1st of September. Jumping in where Jack is, Carol are moving on. And so it's just a real delight for me to be able to do that. And a lot of new things are happening in the Navigators. It's going to take a long time to see them all come into reality. Just like turning the Queen Mary around with a rowboat. It just takes time. But many things are happening that I know a lot of you have been praying for. Things are coming back, perhaps, that some of you that have been around for a long time are going to get to see the full cycle. We're talking about some of the same things that perhaps 20, 30 years ago we were talking about. But I thought I would just tell you before I start, Ron had mentioned that maybe I just tell him a little bit about my own background, just that you might know me, particularly in the area of the church. Those who I know closely have shared a great burden for the local church. And it's not lip service at all for me. And let me tell you why. First of all, I'm a third generation Christian, and my wife is a fourth generation Christian. Godly parents, grandparents, and great grandparents. I grew up in a very strong, vibrant Christian church, my home church. We heard the gospel soundly preached and the Word of God expounded, and it was a delightful experience. I did not rebel during my teenage years. I was very responsive all the way through. And at an early age of 7, committed my life to Christ and then grew in that environment. And then it wasn't, however, until I went to West Point my freshman year as a 17-year-old young man that I met the Navigators. And that practical help with all that background, I just took off. And within 4 or 5 months, I was just growing with tremendous enthusiasm because I finally found some practical tools that would help me put into motion a lot of what I had learned. So I grew up in that environment and was very committed to the local church, my own church particularly. When I came with the Navigators, I laid it all before the board of elders of my church. I wouldn't make a move without that. And they convened, we discussed, they finally decided to commission us. And then later, they put me through the paces to ordain me. I appeared before a 21-man council and on a 3-hour oral examination. So it was a great experience. And so they laid hands and the people came up around me and off I went. I went to Vienna to take part in the development of that ministry to Eastern Europe and Russia. When we went out, we ministered with the local churches, in the local churches, and through the local churches. There's no other way, particularly in those countries. They haven't heard of parachurch. They don't know what the Navigators are. That is not the issue with them. It was brought to a head when I went in on our first trip to Russia. You've probably heard of Georgi Vince, who was released about almost 8 or 9 years ago, who was the head of the underground church movement. Godly man, a great man. But when he left, there were two men that took over, and one man was named Horiv. And Horiv, I had a chance to meet. And we had prearranged this meeting. It's a little bit awkward because I, having ministered a number of years already in Eastern Europe, when Christian men meet Christian men, they greet each other with a holy kiss. And that's just you embrace one another and then you kiss the two cheeks. But in Russia, it's a little bit different. And this is my first trip to Russia, and I wasn't really aware of it, exactly the difference. So we were supposed to take a bus, and we got on this bus, and I was supposed to get off the third stop, whatever it is, and you see this, of course, Cyrillic script, which has nothing to do with English, and you have no idea what it is. But I had memorized a couple of these funny little figures, and I knew that if three of them, you know, were together, then that was my stop. Anyhow, the third stop, I got off, and I waited, and I was supposed to wait, and a man would come by with a dark suit with a newspaper under his left arm, and I was supposed to follow him. And well, I think the only kind of suit they sell there is a dark suit, you know. So there must have been at least, 8 or 9 people that came by with dark suits, and they all seemed to have papers, but none of them wanted the left arm, you know. And I think the Spirit of God really just knew, because as the right one came along, who we assume the right one, somehow when he just looked up, we just felt like he was a believer. So we followed him, and we followed him a number of blocks, and he turned, and I thought for sure we got the wrong one. Finally got to one block, and as we came around, he had stopped and turned, and then he said something in English, and we knew it, and then we walked over and got in a car, and then drove in that car a ways, and then got out of there, and then moved to another place, because it was a very, very tense environment. Well, when we walked in this room, here's this guy, Horiv, who's about 6'2", about 220 pounds, and just a bear of a man. And I walked up to him thinking I would embrace him, and so he came to me, and he opened up his arms, he was greeting my fellow that was interpreter, and he pulled me in like this, but the Russians kiss on the mouth. And it's not a kind of a gooey kiss or anything, they just kind of like this, you know, but the men do that to the other men. So I'm thinking of the cheek, he's thinking of my mouth, and as we embraced, we met on his nose. So it was really an embarrassing thing. It's been a long time since I kissed an old man's nose, you know. And we kind of recovered, both of us, you know, and then we hugged again, and he went on to the others, and it was a very awkward experience. But we sat down, and we shared and talked a little bit, and then he turned to me with just a very clear, steely eyes, and he said, "By what authority do you come here to speak to us, Brother Paul?" And I thought, let's see. Regional director with the Navigators. I thought of other different things, and somehow the Spirit of God just moved, and I said, "I was ordained and commissioned by the believers at Wyckoff Baptist Church. In their authority and in their power, I come to present to you the ministry they ordained me to have." And he looked at me and he said, "Thank the brothers and sisters from Wyckoff. We accept you and accept your authority." And then I came, and our whole ministry opened up through that visit on the power and authority of a local church. And when I told them that, they never realized that kind of authority even spread into Russia. But that's the power of a local church, isn't it? And that's what they did in those days as well. Phyllis and I are supported regularly and monthly by 11 churches. We get involved in all of them. We're very involved in our own local church. Phyllis right now is leading Bible studies and coordinating them there in the local church. I'm teaching Sunday school, involved in a men's early morning Bible class, teaching the pastor, as well as meeting with men in the church. But I wanted to tell you that because I'm very committed to the local church, and it's not just something that, it's part of the body, so there we, you know, let's just kind of incorporate it in our Navigator objectives. I have felt that long before I ever came to the Navigators, and I have seen what the Navigator ministry can do in a local church, as you have and you're giving yourselves to. But I've been part of seeing that contribution come in, because deep in my heart is a conviction that every believer wants two things. And those two things are, one, to have a vital living relationship with the Lord Jesus. And secondly, to have God use them as a channel, experience being used as a channel to touch another life. And the navigators can help them pull that off. Many of them don't do that, and you know that. And so it's been a tremendous challenge for me to see that happen again and again and again. Local churches where some kind of navigator contribution, the practical side of helping someone do that. And of course, that was my own testimony. So I am really excited about it. I was excited when I heard of the CDM being broken off into a functional national entity. It's gone through a tough 2 years, struggling for its existence in some ways. I really personally believe those days are over. It's been launched, we're moving, and it's going to be exciting to move together. In the proposed strategy that we have come up with, and it is proposed, it's being worked on and massaged, and you'll be able to get copies of that, and perhaps some of you have already seen that. We have committed ourselves to a whole new mission statement, and let me just share that with you. It says, by faith in God and the obedience of Jesus Christ, the mission of the United States Navigators is to recruit, train, send, and serve an army of multiplying labors. To accomplish the Great Commission in their spheres of influence, the mainstreams of America, and the nations of the world. Now that's a great amplification and a different direction than we've ever gone before. We're talking in terms of army of multiplying labors. That smacks of movement. We're praying that God would cause a movement. The navigators will not be that movement. It would be just presumptuous to ever think that. But we can be a part of that movement. We can create laborers and leaders that will help step into that and bring about and be God's channels for the movement that only the Holy Spirit can cause to happen. But it talks about an army of them, all different kinds of laborers. In our Glorieta conference that we just finished, we're talking now to rethink the whole concept of a laborer. Up till now, a laborer was only a disciple maker. And perhaps for the navigator terminology, that would continue. But we're talking about getting excited about that 95% out there. The people who are laborers, because a movement is caused by many people following God. Many people participating. People that are in a team in a church, and if somebody's calling up and getting involved and setting up where those people are going to come that night, and somebody says, I'll call five people and invite them to an evangelistic opportunity, that person's laboring. That person who's in the Word and growing and sharing and teaching that night, that person's a laborer. And so we need to get excited about the broad concept of laboring. I've never heard navigators speak of that. It has nothing to do with us changing the focus. That narrow focus of making sure those kind of laboring leaders are brought out as well. But for the first time, we're really saying, hey, there are other laborers in the kingdom that we need them desperately. They're valid. They're real. They're urgently needed. And we're going to get excited about those. And it's going to take time to adjust to that. But I think we will. There are new things coming up. We're talking about ideas of contextualization. Many of you have heard about the idea of secularization. And of course, our world, and particularly our society, is being subjected to the process of secularization. That is, they're moving away from God. They're moving away from biblical standards and values. And we know that. And anybody who just walks around in this world understands that. And you especially, who are tuned in to people and to the churches, understand that. So that's secularization. But if you've heard that we're going after the secularized, please forget it. We're going after the unreconciled. There are all kinds. Someone says, well, how do you spot a secularized person? You know, he walks around with a little sign on there, I'm secularized. No, they're like my neighbor who walked out of church when he was 17 years old and is now a medical doctor. He doesn't believe in God. He maybe thinks there's something up there that started it all. But he's an agnostic. But we had him before. Maybe we'll have more of them now. And it's rapidly moving towards where there will be more. But he's got to be reached by loving him. He's got to be reached by sharing and praying, same way. They're all different kinds. So it's the unreconciled that we're going after. And they'll come in every shape, form, and size. They'll have different philosophies and values. And we know that perhaps in our country, just generally, almost 40% of this country is thinking in terms of or their world philosophy is not a Christian world philosophy. They're the kind of people we call secularized, but hey, we meet them all the time. They walk around in three-piece suits. They don't have long hair and act like Bob Lovren. They're just different kind of people. I know I shouldn't say that because it'll come back. I know it will. But, you know, there are all kinds of people. And we need to be alert and adjusting to get all of them. We're using the words like contextualization. That's just a complicated or big word for just finding out how things fit into the right context. And so Jim Peterson spoke on for 2 days on just the whole concept of contextualization. And that's simply fitting in the message or the form to make it relevant to that context so that it becomes part of a particular segment of society that we're trying to reach. So Jesus did that. When he spoke to a fisherman, he talked about following him and becoming fishers of men. When he spoke to a woman at the well, gathering water, he spoke in terms of living water. That's nothing new. Paul, of course, comes out and speaks in 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through 23. He says, you know, when I'm with the people of the law, I become like the people of the law. Why? So that I might win them. When I'm with the people who are without the law, I'm like that. And in any circumstances, we're to be outwardly chameleons that can adapt to our environment. But it doesn't mean changing our message. Not at all. But it's certainly ridiculous to talk to someone who is far from the kingdom of God, who has no idea of their even need for salvation or even a need for God. They're happily content with their philosophy. They may be screaming towards the mountain at 200 miles an hour and ready to crash, but they don't realize it. My neighbor, who's this doctor and his wife, he graduated from one of the Ivy League schools. He has all the things going for him. He walked away from a very high six-figure salary. Why? Because of Christian principles? No. He decided finally to leave it all. He had it. And he left so that he could spend more time with his children. And he moved from the East Coast out here to Colorado Springs, and he's picked up a night medical. He's the night physician at the Air Force Base here in town, earning $53,000 a year. Nothing to what he could have been earning. Why? Just so he could be with his family and his children. He just thinks this is great. He works at night. He goes out during the day and takes his children. He's home there. He cuts his lawn. He camps. He fishes. He hunts. He just thinks it's great. He's neat to people. When I was out there shoveling the walk of a neighbor, he came along with me and shoveled it. I mean, he does wonderful things. Well, I can't tell him, you've got to straighten your life away. His life is straighter than a lot of Christians. As a matter of fact, he made a definite decision, a career decision, that certain many Christians wouldn't walk away from that. So what am I going to do? Start by saying, brother, you need to repent and change your way of life. You say, what for? He's happy. Well, these are the kind of people we get into. And so we're praying like crazy, and then suddenly she comes over and asks Phyllis if sometime they could talk about how we raised our children, because they looked at our children and they think they're doing all right and their kids are 8 and 6 and they're a little worried and they're getting a little ornery and they need some help. And so Phyllis has. She's spoken to it. And of course the Bible came in and all the rest, and she thought that was interesting, but that's as far as we've gotten. But we're going to keep going. We're going to keep working at it. And so those are the kind of things we're talking about when we talk about contextualization. And we're talking about reaching the unreconciled. That's a challenge to us. And again, you are deeply committed to that kind of thing. We're talking about diversity coming. And this is the exciting thing that I believe is probably going to open the door more and more for ministries like CDM. We realize that the navigators need to get out into all different pockets of society. We realize also that what we're called to do, that narrow focus, must stay, but the application needs to be broad. We need to get into churches. We need to get into evangelical churches, mainstream churches. We need to get into those that don't go to church. We need to get into everywhere with that message and help. We need to relate to the body of Christ. You know that many of us that has grown up with the navigators, we don't even know what's going on in the body of Christ. In our leadership survey, which I was involved in the leadership project, evaluating our whole leadership around the whole world, One question that we were asking related to what's going on with other organizations. And we didn't know a thing. We hardly, the collective understanding of what God's doing with other organizations and people, it was just, we could put in a little notebook. But you people have a lot more understanding of what's going on in the body. You need to help us. As I've gotten to know a lot of you and people who have been out there and probably for a long time saying, hey, get out in the body. It was almost illegal before if you'd sneak out and get involved with a church or get out in some other little thing. I believe that day is gone. It is gone, especially in the minds and hearts of the people who are involved in the leadership. That's something we can't live with anymore. We've got to get out there. Get into the highways and byways. We've got to get into the mainstreams of society. And there are many mainstreams, but those people who move along that somehow think their worldview is certain ways and their values and how they see themselves. And we're talking about getting into various ethnic groups. We've never talked about that before. But if you look at the demographic view of the United States in the future, those of us who call ourselves white Anglo-Saxon Protestants are going to be 29% by year 2000. We're going to be overtaken by other percentages. The blacks are rising, the Asians are rising, the Hispanics are rising. There are other kinds of people arising. Well, to me, this is the excitement. These are the kind of things that I think I joined the Navigators for. To get involved in the breadth of the world and yet bring that very unique contribution. But we're not. Our contribution isn't any better than anyone else's, and you know that. We need to learn from other people. For the first time in my life, I'm hearing people and the Navigators talk about learning from other organizations. Why, we have churches that are out there doing discipleship better than we are. We need to learn. We have churches who are setting up prayer circles. We don't even know how to set up a prayer circle. We're talking about the importance of body life. If we're going to survive, and always before, the Navigator ministry had this leader up there, and he had these people down there, and it was so vertical. And so when the person left and went out into the world and left that vertical relationship, he didn't know what to do. I was talking to one who had graduated from our ministries in alumni ministry, and he was telling me he couldn't relate to a lot of people when he got out there. And he was a disciple maker out of one of our collegiate ministries. And I said, why is it a problem relating? He says, well, everyone I try to relate to, Christian, I'm always figuring out how I can help him. But what he needed is help from others. But he never thought that. Why? Our system was kind of a closed system. It's kind of vertical. And there are a lot of wonderful things about that system. So we have to figure out how to change and adapt it without tearing the fabric, without ripping things apart. And we're in a very, very exciting time, but it's going to be a very strategic time for us. It's going to take a lot of leadership from the Holy Spirit, a lot of sensitivity, because we don't want to suddenly lurch left and lurch right, and then we've suddenly teared things up, and we've forgotten our vision, we've forgotten our focus, and this person's out here doing. No, we need to get under the control of the Holy Spirit with our vision and focus and broaden the application of it. But it's going to be tough because these times are changing. Our society is different. Churches are different. People are different. Attitudes are different. Values are different. But it will take all kinds, but yet with the same vision. As I mentioned before, it's the first time we're really talking about movement. But not that we would create that movement, but that we would help raise up laborers who God could take a hold of and see a movement take place. We're talking about new leadership styles. No longer the intense militaristic history that we've had, and we've been getting away from that for years. That's not new. But we need to keep that going. Keep it going in that direction. More embracing leadership, listening leadership, leadership that loves and is caring. Some of us are praying very much so, and I know a lot of us have been praying over the years that one day the Navigators could really be known for their love. And that would be exciting, wouldn't it? Jerry Bridges was leading a seminar for 1 week among a lot of Navigators and some Navigator staff and Navigator contacts, and there are about 75, 80 in the audience. And during one of the times he put up on the board, he said, all right, I'd like you to list down in your mind what, when you think of a Navigator, what kinds of words and qualities come out. So he went to the board and he started to copy things down. And there was discipline, committed, multiplying, you know, and all different types of words like that. But after he finished, there were about 25, 26 words. Never once did the word love come up. Now, that really challenges, doesn't it? Especially when John 13, 34 and 35 says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, because ye have love for one another." Love one for another. And then I'm challenged by the fact, when you look at 1 Corinthians 13, and in those first three verses, five times it says the, if I had, you know, had such faith that could move mountains, if I'd give my body up as a martyr, if I had done this or done that, if we had the greatest church discipleship ministry the world had ever known, if we'd done all these great things and had not love, Paul tells us, under the control of the Holy Spirit, that we would be nothing. We would be sounding gongs and tinkling cymbals. So that really challenges us. And we've been praying about that. And we ended Glorietta praying a lot about that. I believe God's doing a new thing among us. And it's exciting times. And I'm just so grateful that you're here. There'll be a lot like you. We're going to grow. We don't know how and what types of organization it will be. But there are going to be more. More people, more involved, getting into these churches. Because, you know, as I was praying just the other day, thinking about this, that one statistic has caused a lot of thought. Do you know that 40% of America goes fairly consistently to church? Now, there are varying percentages on that, but you know 22% is what we call evangelical. Maybe half of those are committed. But that means that the churches have direct access to 40% of America. They have indirect access, the local churches, through another 20 to 30% because they go irregularly. Or they're in touch with people who go to church. We, through the church discipleship ministries, are in touch potentially with 60 to 70% of America. Now that's a challenge. And that is exciting. And I want you to know that one of the seven strategic directions on this strategy paper, number 6, says, "We will pursue strategies aimed at helping the church in disciple-making and reaching the mainstreams of America." And you are on the front edge of that. So there is no lacking of commitment. If you hear murmurings and rumors, absolutely not. We're going to move into those churches. We're going to develop new ways, new forms. We're going to train staff in different ways that they can be even more effective in these churches. We're going to do all we can to facilitate you getting in there to those churches. Do I have a strategy for the church discipleship ministries? Nope, not at all. As a matter of fact, I'm just awed by all the experience you have. I think if there's any strategy that the Holy Spirit wants to communicate to us for the churches, it's right there. You are the ones who have been laboring, understand the church, have been thinking about it, have been praying about it for years. And I trust over this next year we'll begin to draw on that and draw it together, that we might come up with a strategy that God has his fingerprint on. And that would be exciting to us all. But we won't worry about it in the meantime. We'll just get at it and get in more churches, more places, touching more lives, so that more and more laborers will be raised up. More people will have a vital relationship with Christ, and more people will be prepared to see God use their life. So I'd just like to pause. We've got a couple minutes, and I'd like to ask if you had any questions. That perhaps in something I've said, I know I've kind of hit a whole battery of things, but maybe there's just a couple thoughts or questions, and I'm not speaking on my own, but I'm speaking for the whole U.S. leadership team. I want to share that. Yes, sir. And we can get copies made of this, so you can get a copy of it. It says, "By faith in God and in the obedience to Jesus Christ, the mission of the U.S. Navigators is," and this is the new part, "recruit, train, send, and serve an army of multiplying laborers, accomplishing the Great Commission in their spheres of influence, mainstreams of America, and nations of the world." And that's what all of you folks are committed to, not just the local, but even beyond the local, into the country and beyond into the world.
So we're trying to capture that idea, first of all, our own spheres of influence where we live and operate and function. And then the mainstreams of America, those places out there, and many of us are not even equipped to get into some of these mainstreams. I mean, there are people that I probably cannot relate to. It's just not part of my background, the way God's put me together. And so we need a whole variety of people. And then the nations of the world. That's still the great objective. Okay, any other questions? Yes, Steve.
Paul, you mentioned about the 2 years of CDM and how difficult it's been and so forth, and that you feel like behind us now. Do you think then that CDM has a separate ministry within the Navigators? Probably, I'm sure the structure changed, but basically that concept has now been accepted and will go on?
Yes, I was just sitting and talking with Terry and several others, and CDM, we feel, is critical. It's here to stay. The structure of it, we're not exactly sure. We do know that perhaps it's going to have a core of equipped people who will, give direction and to this, and that core could be 35, 50, 100. I'm not sure where that is. But we also know one of the concerns we have, it's got to start dovetailing with our field ministries. As you know, there are a number of people getting into what the field ministries call community ministry. A lot of them are getting into churches. And so it was an awkward beginning. And, of course, 2 years is just a very, a small, short period of time. But it's so new to the Navigators to have anything functionalized like that. It's new to our kinds of leadership that says, if it's in my area, I need to control it. We're getting away from that, and it'll take time. And I don't mean to say that we won't have transitional problems still, but it's here to stay. It's here to stay, or I would not even be here. So, yes, sir.
How many communities do we have like that? I'm excited about the growth of the cities and the interest in reaching out. How many do we have in the cities?
Of ministries in the cities? Okay. That's a good point, because in our strategies, we are shifting in our field ministries a lot away from that. And we're not leaving the campus or the military bases, but we're shifting our strategic planning unit to the cities. As you well know, those who graduate out of our ministry, 95% of them go into cities of 100,000 or more. And the mass of America is moving into urbanization, urbanized areas, which are various sizes of cities. And so we need to get in there. Also, our graduates out of our collegiate and military ministries, when they leave, are no longer fully equipped as we could equip them before, because we just don't have enough time with them. So it's very important to pick them up and complete the training cycle for them so that they can multiply more effectively. So we're going to have to pick them up, and where they're going is cities. Plus, that's where America is. That's where the challenge is. So we are beginning to move staff into cities, and you're going to hear more of that, where cities then are opened up. And that's where I could see a beautiful integration of a lot of what we cannot take on cities without churches. It all integrates. Now, that's what we're going to need, just real direction from the Spirit of God. We're going to need to work that through. I'm sure there'll be difficulties and, things like that, but we're going to start moving in that direction. Right now, we only have 3 major cities being staffed by a man who is given the responsibility for that major city. And that's
Washington, D.C.,
Washington, D.C., Detroit, and Indianapolis have what we call a city director in the concept we're speaking of. We always have worked in cities, but we're thinking differently now. We're thinking that a person would go into a city and first of all look at that and study that city and understand the various quadrants of ethnic, socio groupings within that city. And then the objective for the Navigators would be to somehow to develop aggressive disciple-making teams within each one of those quadrants that have their own indigenous leadership. So whether it be Hispanics or whether it be white-collar churches. See, and that may take place in churches, and churches will be involved. It may take place in a marketplace. It may take place I don't know where. But that's the kind of concept we're thinking of. So we've been in cities before because there was a church there or because there's a campus there.
But now we're thinking in terms of really getting involved in that whole church. And, of course, a lot of co-laborship with other people who are already there is going to be required. Yes?
Well, it seems like in the past one of our tensions with the church has been the tendency to call it our ministry and to take people out and build up our ministry. One of the distinctives, as I see it, of CDM is that it's not our ministry, it's the church's ministry. Is there some thinking that we will need to change our attitudes, particularly in the community type ministry, because as I understand it, it's still be their focus, you know, to develop our teams of people and lead them out and so on and so forth. But it seems like, again, historically, that's been one of our tensions, because the church doesn't understand it ultimately. So just along these lines, is there any thinking being done in terms of our philosophy along
those lines? Yes, there is a lot of thinking being done, but it's going to probably remain a tension for a while until we can work through that. But that is the difficult part of a ministry, that if you're going to train a laborer, you've got to take a hold in a sense. There are a period of time in that person's life that you need to, like Paul with Timothy, like Jesus with his 12, you've got to have a hold of them. But then there's a time where you release that. And we have to learn how to do that in a context of a ministry without wanting to control everything, but maybe just having some direct input into those few and yet being involved in the many. And that's been a challenge for a while. But I think we're very aware of that thinking. And where Glorietta, for instance, was an effort to try to deal with some of that, open it up, and that's hopefully that'll continue. But perhaps there's some help that you men can give as you've been out there in those churches. Yes, Benny.
Doesn't a lot of it have to do with the attitude from the NAV rep in relation to that church? And it's so encouraging to us, Paul, to see, for instance, that 11 churches participated in your support. It reflects that you had a tremendous attitude toward the church. Jerry White, the same way, really modeling this. I think that this is going to help us tremendously because we're still looking to see what we do.
Yeah. Well, it looks like time for lunch, doesn't it? So let me just share one thing, just take one more minute to read a verse. A verse that has been a very important part of my life, and as I was at the last several meetings and even at Glorietta, I'm finding others are getting the same verse from the Lord. Now that gets exciting when people start doing that. And you had already shared that, Don, Isaiah 43, verse 19. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. But the verse that's encouraging, I was not only in our own country, but I was talking with Warren Myers, and he has claimed this verse for their movement into China. And I was talking to the fellow that is now leading Russia, and he has claimed this in the quietness of the Lord. God's given it to him. And as several months ago, when I was taking time alone with the Lord, and this area of the church was being discussed and my just being involved in it. And I was going back over some of the verses, and God just really caught my attention again with this. And then again at Glorietta, more people are sharing this. But I believe God is working, especially, and this is the verse, and many of you know this, Isaiah 42:16. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known, along unfamiliar paths. And that's certainly true. I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them, and I will make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do, and I will not forsake them. And so that just has reminded me that it's not going to be by our effort. We'll keep in there and keep going, but it's going to be by the Spirit of God and His power as He does these things. But we're in unfamiliar waters. There's a lot of things that need to be worked out, as you've mentioned, even with our own organization. But the opportunity is tremendous. And so I just want to thank you for the time.